So today we are starting 4 weeks, the month of August, in one of the shortest books in the Bible, Philemon. I've never preached on it before, so this is going to be an adventure for you and me. I want to start by just kind of giving you the whole story, and then we'll back up and look at the first 7 verses this morning. This is a personal letter from the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, to a man named Philemon. He was likely wealthy, and he had a church in his house. Most of the early churches were house churches. It would be not just the immediate family, but maybe some of their friends and some in the community, as well as all those who worked for the household. I don't know that the word was used in what you heard this morning, but you'll pick up pretty quickly that Philemon had at least one, if not several, slaves. It was a different thing in first century Palestine than what comes to our mind, but it was still an evil and wrong. And part of what's going to happen in this course of the letter is that the culture of which Philemon was a part, and we're going to read, he was a good man, yet he had this slave. We're going to read about how the Apostle Paul kind of confronted that situation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't actually find out what happened, but we see where the gospel meets the culture, and it raises some interesting questions for us, I think. So that's my hope as we're considering, continuing to think about what does the Word of God say to us today in relation to our culture, and especially around issues of race and economics and that sort of thing. I think Philemon's going to be a great tutor for us. Today, oh, and the story, here's what happened. So Philemon, head of household, had a church in his house. One of his slaves, a man named Onesimus, ran away. If I don't get to this today, a big part of what was slavery in the first century was a paying off of debt. And so when Onesimus ran away, the biggest problem legally with that was he would have owed Philemon some sort of debt, and the reason he was working in his house was to pay that off. So he would have been in trouble for welching on a debt, and so would have been considered a thief, and the penalty would have been very harsh. He somehow gets 1,000 miles away and encounters he encounters the Apostle Paul, who we think was in Rome at that time, and comes to faith. And Paul receives him as a Christian brother, finds out his story, and Paul actually knows Philemon and realizes that he has run away. And Paul writes this letter to communicate with Philemon. And we're going to take several weeks because I think the way Paul communicates, what he has to say, and the kind of the living offer of the gospel that he makes back to Philemon, or each of those is just so helpful and instructive to us. That's the story, and we don't really find out what Philemon does with the letter, but that's what's going on. And this is Paul. Onesimus is with him, has become Paul's right hand. I mean, Paul calls him he is my very heart. I mean, he is dear to Paul, and he's a brother in Christ. So that's the context that Paul writes this letter 1,000 miles away back to Philemon, who he knows as an early Christian leader. So today, we're going to start with these first 7 verses, and what they describe is a good man. I mean, there's other ways to say it, but I think any of us just reading this, and particularly if we don't know some of the details of the story, but even if we do, if you had been alive back then and you had known Philemon, you most likely would have thought he is a good Christian man. So let me just read to you some of what Paul says as he addresses this letter, and it's not flattery. I mean, it's sincere. But Paul writes, calls Philemon in verse 1 his beloved brother, his fellow worker. I mean, that's why Paul knows him, because Paul's going around starting Christian churches all over the known world, and he stays in touch with the leaders in each community. So he greets him, as he often does in these letters. In verse 4, he says, I thank God for you, and I pray for you, in verse 5, because I hear of, and this you're going to get a little bit of what Philemon is like, I hear of your love and of the faith which you have towards Jesus and towards all the believers, all the saints. So Philemon, even among the early Christian leaders, is known for his love and his faith. And down in verse 7, it gets even more personal. Paul writes, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. So whether that means, probably so, that Philemon is teaching, he's like the pastor of this church. And Paul commends him and comments on how many people are encouraged by this good Christian pastor and leader. And I read all that and I think, well, I'd love to be known by all those traits, to be known as a good man and a good Christian and a good pastor. I skipped over verse 6. Let me read it to you, and we're going to end with it. In the middle of all these words of sincere praise to his friend, Paul says this, "I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake." So mostly Paul's giving thanks, but he does pray this one prayer for something to happen. And that's going to be important. We're going to come back to that and see what it is that Paul is preparing to say, even as he begins his letter with prayer. But I think it's important to start with Philemon as a good man, because I think most of us, if you are a believer, if you trust in Christ, that would be one of your aspirations. I want to be a good man, a good woman. I want to be a good Christian. I want to do things that please the Lord. What we're going to find out as this letter unfolds is that this good Christian man had a blind spot. And I think part of what this letter teaches us is we likely do all have blind spots, and we don't know about them because they're blind spots, right? That's in your car. You can't see what's in your blind spot because you can't see it. So the main thing that this letter is doing is naming for a dear friend in Christ, brother, here's what you can't see, but I want to shine the light of Christ on it. It's going to be up to you what you do with it. That's the application of Philemon to each of us, to say, do we have some blind spot that we can't see on our own, but the Word of God will shine a light on it, and then what are we going to do? So speaking of blind spots, if you can hold your finger in Philemon, we'll come back to that. I want to turn over to Luke 6 to kind of a triple parable that Jesus told. It was all run together like one, and it was about blind spots, about really even blind spots with a leader. So in Luke 6, 39, Jesus spoke a parable to them. It starts like this. A blind man cannot guide another blind man, can he? Won't they both fall into a pit? Right? So I may know the ancient languages of the Bible to teach you. I may know a lot about this or that. But if I have a gaping blind spot over here and I'm trying to lead you and I can't see this, and especially if you can't see this, we may well just walk into a pit and get in trouble. And Jesus cautions against that. And he's going to go on to tell a series of parables to help us understand that. He goes on from there to say, and this is the part of this we probably know the most, how do you say to another person, let me take the speck out of your eye when I have a plank, a log in mine? How can I even see to do that if I have, again, this big blind spot? And Jesus says, first, tend to your own blindness, the own log in your own eye, then reach out to your brother. And what Paul is going to do in his letter to Philemon is very tenderly, he's going to speak the gospel to the log that is in Philemon's eye, the big blind spot. I haven't said what that is yet, but we're going to get to it. The big blind spot that is in Philemon's life, so that he can indeed be a better Christian and man and pastor. One big question is going to be, will Philemon receive it? Will he accept what Paul's saying to him? And that's what makes the letter so fascinating, is seeing how Paul speaks truth to his friend. But that's for coming weeks. The final part of what Jesus says in these three parables is he kind of changes the analogy, but still talking about the same thing. He says, look, when you think about trees or plants, if a tree is good, if it's healthy, if it's being nourished from its roots and healthy on the inside, it will bear good fruit. That's how you know it's a good tree, by the fruit it bears. If a tree or bush or plant is bearing poor fruit, unhealthy fruit, you know something's wrong on the inside. It's like that with people. You can't see to the insides of people, but you can see by their words and their actions, the fruit they bear, you can see what's going on. That has a number of applications. The reason this reminds me of Philemon is Paul asserts up front. He says, brother, you are a good man. I know your heart. I call you brother. And we're going to see that Paul trusts that God is at work in Philemon when he asks him to receive Onesimus back, and when he talks about forgiving the debt that is owed. And all that he writes to Philemon, he is banking on Jesus' words that if my spirit is in someone, if they are being nourished on the inside, they will bear good fruit. So even, this is the good news, the gospel in this, even if you or I have a big blind spot in our life, even if we have a plank in our eye, if we're looking to Christ and we're trusting Christ, we can have our eyes opened. We can grow. We can bear good fruit, even in this area that we don't know about yet. And that's a good word, right? You're not just consigned to sin or bad fruit, or, you know, you fail in one area, you're out. That's the essence of the gospel, right? If we learn that we have sinned or fallen short and we turn to Christ, he grows us and stretches us and we become better. So we're going to go back to Philemon and back to that verse 7 that I mentioned. Paul's going to unpack it a little bit more as the letter unfolds, but it's right there in his prayer in verse 6, what he wants for Philemon. He says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith, that is, out of your Christian faith, the way you treat those in your household, like the other people, it's the fellowship, that it become effective through the knowledge of every good thing that's in you in Christ. In other words, he's praying that Philemon will overcome his blindness. And here's what I think his blindness is. Kind of been holding this. It was accepted in the culture in that day that a wealthy man, whom people owed money to, would have household servants. They called them bond servants or servants. And it was the way of the culture that debts would be paid in that way. And some of those relationships were better than others, but it was still someone and sometimes whole families kind of giving over their lives in order to pay those debts. When the Christian gospel met that early Greek Jewish culture, things began to change. The way that the Jewish people viewed non-Jews changed. The way that men viewed women changed. It was all shaped by the gospel. And you may remember from the book of Acts that the people that were gathering in these early churches, they were sharing everything they had to give to the poor and to the hungry. They kind of freely shared everything. So it makes all the sense in the world that as early Christians received the gospel and understood there's no longer Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, that debts would be forgiven, that relationships would change. And yet Onesimus has run away from Philemon. We're not sure why, but we know that that creates a divide between them. And what Paul is going to write to Philemon is, listen, I know as part of your household, he would have been exposed to the gospel. I mean, the whole household would have gathered for worship. And I don't know what his status was with you, but when I met him, this man accepted Christ, and I count him as a brother in Christ. And not just a brother in Christ, but one who is really almost indispensable to me. But I think the right thing to do is to send him back to you. So Paul is praying for, and then he's writing a letter for, and he's going to appeal to Philemon to receive this man back, not as a slave, but as a Christian brother. There's still going to be a matter of a debt to be paid. Paul is going to offer to pay the debt in a very, I mean, it's like a living embodiment of what Jesus did, right? To pay our debts. Paul says, if that's what's standing between you, I'll pay it off. But receive him back, not as a slave, no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And I think even beyond that, to speak a word to this early Christian leader to say, listen, the kingdom of God has no slave and free. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So it was a word of instruction back to Philemon. We're going to pause there, and more will unfold in the coming weeks. But here's where that, I think, makes application to me and to you. To be fair to Philemon, he was just operating out of what he knew. And he was, by all accounts, a good man and a Christian man. And yet he had this blind spot that he hadn't already caught. Well, this man, perhaps I should view him as a brother in Christ rather than someone who serves me. He overlooked, he disregarded Onesimus as somehow less than or not worthy than or not the same as my family or my neighbors who gather. And I ponder that and I reflect on that and I think, Lord, I am blind as well. I think about going out to eat and virtually ignoring the person that is serving me my meal as somehow they, I know there's some sort of cultural expectation that you don't pull up a chair and let them sit with you, but to regard them with dignity. Or the policeman directing traffic in my neighborhood, or the person collecting the recycling in my neighborhood, or the family across the street that looks different from me, or who, you know, has the loud party and the bass is thumping at 12:30 in the morning, and I think, couldn't they just stop, right? But the message of the gospel is, at the lowest, most foundational level, I think what it is that each person is created in the image of God, and there is an inherent worth and dignity to that. And the Apostle Paul is just going to get right into the mess of that, because he's sending back someone that culture says is a slave and is a thief and deserves legal punishment. And Paul says, no, this man has worth and dignity, and I'm sending him back to you not as slave and thief and convict, but as brother in Christ. And he appeals to Philemon to see him as such. That's the word to us. Are there people, and they're probably driving in our blind spots, so probably have not spent a whole lot of time thinking who's there. But this word says, turn and look. And who are the people that you and I might overlook or disregard, or simply at some unspoken level think they are somehow less than or not worthy of this word or my attention or my value? And yet God's word says each and every one has dignity and has worth. That is a countercultural message if ever I heard one. And it's one that pushes and stretches me. I mean, at first blush, it does nothing to me because it's my blind spot. I don't even know I'm being pushed and stretched. But I read this and it's like I turn enough. You know, you're driving and you catch a glint in your rearview mirror and you're like, oh, there's someone there. That's what this word does to me. And once I've seen it, I can't look away. God says, who is it that is in your blind spot, in your place of disregard? Who is it that Christ would hold up and say, this is a brother, this is a sister, because I made them and they have worth and dignity? Paul's just getting started with us and Philemon. It's going to kind of dive into the details in the coming weeks. So I hope you'll come back for that.